This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the sixth chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 1. Genesis 6, 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of man, that they were fair. And they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. When Jesus was walking with his disciples past the temple, they were remarking at the building and the size of the stones. When Herod built the temple in Jerusalem, it was one of his great monuments. And Herod, being a little man, liked to use big stones in his buildings. In fact, at the corner of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem today, there are still stones that were set there by Herod's workers that are 37 feet long, 8 feet thick, and 5 feet high, weighing between 80 and 90 tons. According to Josephus, some of the stones that he used in the temple weighed up to 120 tons. Mammoth stones, carved to perfection. Even today, you cannot put a knife blade between these huge stones. They were so perfectly cut, laying one on top of another. And when the disciples were going through the temple courtyard and looking at these massive stones, pointing them out to Jesus, Jesus made a remarkable prediction. He said, See ye these stones, not one of them is going to be left standing upon another. What an amazing prophecy. How could you ever move such mammoth stones? And yet within 40 years, the prophecy of Jesus was fulfilled. For when Titus came in with the Roman troops and destroyed the temple, they did not leave one stone lying upon another. When Jesus made this remarkable prophecy, it so surprised the disciples. They said, Lord, what will be the sign of these things? And of your coming and of the end of the age. And so Jesus proceeded to tell them, first of all, the signs of the destruction of Jerusalem, but then broadened it out to the signs of his coming and the end of the age. And one of the signs of his coming and the end of the age, Jesus said, For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. And so the same kind of things that were happening in the day of Noah that caused the judgment of God to come upon that generation would be the same kind of things that would be happening at the end of the age. Let's go back and look again at chapter 6 and see some of the things that were happening in the days of Noah. First of all, our text begins, And it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth. The days of Noah were days of population explosion. In population graphs, the mathematical formulas by which they work out population factors and their growth by exponential kind of development, Henry Morris, in his book Biblical Cosmology, shows that it would very easily have been possible that the earth's population was approaching the 4 billion mark at the time of Noah. Because of the longevity of life and the size of the families, It is very possible that when it says men began to multiply, it really meant that there was a true population explosion of tremendous number of people. It is interesting that since the time of Noah, the population grew at a relatively slow factor because of the many wars and plagues and other factors. It took actually until the year 1867 before there were 1 billion people on the face of the earth. So from the time of Noah to 1867, 1 billion people finally living on the earth at one time. But from 1867 to 1935, the population doubled. And in 1935, there were 2 billion people on the face of the earth. But between 1935 and 1965, there was, in that 30-year period of time, another 1 billion people added to the earth's population. And in 1965 to 1975, the 4th billion. And they declare that by 1981, there will be 5 billion people on the earth. The population doubled. In the period of time from 1857 to 1935, almost 70 years. But in the next, from 1935 to 75, it doubled again, 40 years. It is getting to the place where the population will be doubling every 20 years. That is, if the earth could sustain that large a population. But you see, the earth cannot even sustain 4 billion people. With all of our agricultural technology, we find it difficult to feed the people, in fact, impossible to feed the number of people in the world today. Last year, 15 million people starved to death in the world, because there just isn't enough food to go around. If we can't feed the 4 billion people, how will we ever be able to feed 5 billion people by 1981? There was a crash agricultural development program a few years ago that was started. But the whole program went down the tube in 1973 with the quadrupling of the petroleum prices, because massive agricultural development is dependent upon byproducts of petroleum, that is the insecticides and the fertilizers that come from petroleum products. And now agricultural development is economically unfeasible. And the hope that once existed of maybe developing the agricultural resources of the world has been given up on. And those that deal with such things just declare there is no hope. You worry about the gas lines today. There could very well be food lines in the very near future as the population continues to expand beyond our abilities to develop food supplies for them. The days of Noah were days of population explosion. Men were multiplying upon the face of the earth. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And we see again a massive population explosion. The days of Noah were days of abnormal sexual behavior. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took wives unto themselves of them. This term, sons of God, is used in the Old Testament only of angels. You remember in the book of Job, the sons of God were presenting themselves to God, and Satan also came with them. As difficult as it is to understand, yet it would seem that the inference of the text is that there actually became abnormal sexual relationships that even included demonic forms with humans. There is a very interesting case back in the late 50s, early 50s, of a young girl whose name was Clarissa there in the Philippine Islands. It was reported in Life magazine at that time. Of a young girl who was sort of harassed by demonic forces. There were pictures of her in the magazine. After these vicious attacks, she would have bite marks all over her body, on the back of her neck, on her back, and areas where it would have been impossible for her to bite herself. She was placed into protective custody in the Bilibid prison in Manila. And there the finest psychiatrists of the country were brought to examine her, but none of them could help her or really understand what was going on. And even in the padded cell, she continued to have these harassing attacks. Finally, the mayor of Manila called a couple of missionaries, one Lester Summerall and another Bob McAllister, that they might come and perhaps exorcise the demons from this girl. And so these two missionary evangelists went in. They saw the girl. They saw the frightening experiences of the harassment of these demon powers. And in the name of Jesus Christ, they commanded these demon powers to go. When Clarissa was delivered, she told them that these demons had been sexually abusing her, and they were extremely jealous, and that whenever any man would touch her is when then they would attack her. It sounds bizarre, but there is an interesting book, Bitten by Demons, written by Lester Summerall after the experience, which is well documented, and you might find, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, interesting reading. But today, when I read of the abnormal sexual practices of some people, I cannot think that they are anything but demonically inspired. In the wildest stretch of my imagination, I cannot understand men sexually abusing little girls and little boys. Our welfare agencies are alarmed and shocked at the number of children as low as 2 years old are being sexually abused by adults. It is unfathomable in my mind. I shock and recoil at the thought of it. It must be demonically inspired. Even as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In the days of Noah, we read verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man's mind became so perverted, all he could think of was evil. Continual thought of evil. Our courts today, under the guise of freedom, have unleashed a cesspool of filth upon the American public. They've tied the hands of the local law enforcement officials and governing bodies from removing the social cancers from our communities. And as a result, man gets satiated with one level of filth, and then he's got to find something else. And soon he is satiated with that, and he's got to find something else. And so man's mind becomes twisted and degenerated, seeking after more and more perverted ways of achieving some kind of sexual gratification. And we see the legislature with the consulting adult bill. But then we see, because of the court system, the fight that even Costa Mesa has had to go through recently to remove a nude modeling studio that was put in illegally out of the community, and yet their efforts being hampered and blocked by the courts under the guise of freedom. And so because of these edicts that have come forth in the name of freedom, this whole cesspool of filth has been dumped upon the public. And none of us have been untouched by it in some way or other. Wickedness, the thought and the imagination of man's mind, evil continually. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. We read also here in verse 13 that the earth was filled with violence. Our newspapers are today declaring the violence that exists through the world. We think of the violence in Africa, the violence in Iran, but the violence in our own streets, the streets of Santa Ana, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach. You can't escape it. We are living in a violent society, where it's dangerous to sit in a gas line. The violence that is erupting. It's becoming an accepted way of life. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The flood was God's instrument of judgment. Had God not destroyed them in a wholesale fashion, they would have destroyed themselves in a more painful, piecemeal fashion. The morals and the society was so corrupted that they were beginning to destroy each other. It is interesting, they have done a lot of psychological experiments using rats to try to determine behavioral patterns. I don't know what relationship there might be between a rat and a man as far as behavioral patterns, but the psychologists seem to think that there are many relationships. And one of the interesting studies of rats is the placing of more rats in a given area than that area can support. By putting twice as many rats in a given area than the area itself can support, they find that the rats turn to all types of antisocial behavior. The mothers don't take care of their little babies. There's all kinds of vicious fighting going on between the adults, and there seems to be a constant state of irritation and on edge kind of a thing with this whole violent pattern among the rats. And they seem to try to interpret our social actions today as being the result of overcrowded situations. But they don't take into consideration that there is horrible, violent actions going on in rural America as well as the urban areas. It's just an age of violence. And man again is in danger of destroying himself. In 1970, it was reported that between the United States and Russia, there were enough nuclear devices that were an equivalent of 10 tons of dynamite for every person on the face of the earth. That was in 1970, and we've developed many more weapons since then. 10 tons of dynamite is all it would take to put you into oblivion. It takes much less than that. So surely there's enough pent-up energy of destruction to destroy the whole race of man. There's probably only one worse thing that could happen to you than being destroyed in a massive nuclear war, and that would be to survive a massive nuclear war. Because yours would then be the slow, agonizing death. And so the judgment of God came really as a cleansing work of God as man was piecemeal destroying himself. If God had not destroyed them, their own chosen lifestyles would have in time destroyed them, even as today. We see the chosen lifestyles are so breaking down our social patterns and culture that man again is coming to the brink of destroying himself. The breakdown of marriage and the home. This business of living together without marriage that is flaunted by the Hollywood personalities. Their attempt to foster it off as a accepted and desirable relationship. As in the days of Noah, when the world was corrupt before God, as men were defying the laws of God, we see those things happening today that are destroying our whole society from the rotten planks within. Even as the judgment of God came and destroyed those people before they could destroy themselves, so God's judgment is coming again. And I do not say that with a smack of the lips in relish, oh, God's going to get you, buddy. But I say it with a heart that is breaking. Even as Jesus wept when he realized that the path that the people had chosen was leading to inevitable destruction, So we weep over the conditions of man today that is leading to inevitable destruction. We don't relish the thought of the judgment of God. We grieve that man is so obdurate in his sin and in his wickedness that he will not turn. How often God cried, "Turn, turn, for why will ye die, saith the Lord?" God said, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." God never delights in judgment. He delights in mercy. But God can only show mercy when man gives him a cause to show mercy by turning from his wickedness and from his sinful way. God weeps, I'm sure, over the impending judgment of the world today. For Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And even as he wept because of the judgment that must come, so I am certain that God weeps as he looks at the world and realizes that judgment must come. In the days of Noah, God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." God had been striving with that generation. God's Spirit had been striving with them to cause them to turn to God and to turn to righteousness. But they did not heed the call of the Spirit upon their hearts. The Bible says that Moses was a preacher of righteousness. He was 100 years in building the ark. So during that 100 years, it was just one long illustrated sermon to the people around. For he was declaring that God was going to judge the world with a flood. They laughed, they scoffed. I can see the cartoons in the editorial pages of their papers. Characterizing Noah as some old fool. Talking about water falling out of the heaven and floods in that desert wilderness area. And they scoffed at the thought of the impending judgment that was coming upon them. Even as so many people today scoff at the thought of impending judgment, I find that the only really scared people today are the scientists that have been studying the whole issue. The ecologist, the social scientist, they're the ones that are frightened today. They're the ones that are crying an alarm today. They're the ones that have been warning, "Hey, we're running out of energy." "Hey, we're polluting our atmosphere and our water. We can't survive if we continue." But no one is listening to them either as we continue in our mad dash towards oblivion. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, that God's Spirit will cease to strive with man. For there comes a time, we know not when, and a line we know not where, that marks the destiny of man between sorrow and despair. There is a line, though by us unseen, once it has been crossed, even God himself in all his love has sworn that all is lost. It is possible for man to cross over that line. where there's no further hope. The time has come. We can't go on much longer. The day of which Jesus spoke is at hand. For surely as it was in the days of Noah, so it is in the day in which we live. God's Spirit is striving today. Be thankful for that. God's Spirit is dealing with the issues of your heart and your life today. Be thankful for that. Because to ignore it now could be to shut it off later. To cross that line that even God in love has sworn all is lost. Shall we pray? Father, may your Holy Spirit strive this morning with the hearts and lives of men and women, drawing them again to the grace and the love and the mercy of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? In the days of Noah, men had ample opportunities and ample warnings before the judgment fell. Even as God has given today ample opportunities for men to turn to his grace and to his love. Even as God is giving you opportunity now, and his Spirit is dealing now with the issues of your life. I pray that you'll respond to that work of his Spirit and that you will turn unto God. That you'll turn your life and your future now into his hands before God closes the door, as he did with Noah, and Noah came into the ark and God closed the door. That was it. God is gathering into the ark now, into his church, his people. The door will soon be closed. If you're on the outside at that point, there remains only that fearful looking forward to the fiery indignation of his wrath, which will devour his adversaries. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Joshua said to the people, "Choose this day whom you will serve. If Jehovah is God, serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him." But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How great it is when a dad will stand up and speak out for his house and will lead his family in the righteous path. When the dad can say, "As for me and my house," and he takes the leadership in spiritual things to guide his house in the way of righteousness, in the way of God. May God deal with the issues of your life. And if you'd like to open the door and allow Christ to come in and work in your heart and life today, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room where the pastors will be waiting to pray with you. Now God bless you and watch over you through this week. May he keep you in the midst of an evil and an adulterous generation. but may you shine forth as his light. May the glory of the Lord rest upon your life, and may you walk in that holiness and purity of his love, being filled with his goodness. In Jesus' name.